there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We stumbled upon a pretty good topic, at least I think so. Shaquille O'Neal last night on TNT was talking about the greatness of Steph Curry. And in case you missed it, this is what it sounded last night. With Steph Curry hitting the game winner.
And the loose ball deflected to Paul with three on the shot clock. Over to Curry, catch and shoot, three. Got it from the right sideline. 10.6 to go. Warriors lead 131-26. How did he do that?
Not sure. I don't know if it was a catch and shoot. It felt like it was just one motion where he got it off. It felt like that ball, it was piping hot, and it was just like, yeah, and it just put it up and, of course, swished. And then Shaquille O'Neal had this to say on TNT last night.
I'm wondering, not saying, I'm just wondering, because he's been consistently the best shooter his whole career. I'm wondering, is it time to start putting him as the best player of all time?
Best player?
I was there.
Over, you put him over you?
In the conversation.
I'm asking you.
Yes.
You put him over you. You yourself
way
put
better.
Steph Curry
yes,
over you.
Yeah, this is why he's my favorite player.
I'm not saying favorite. He might be my favorite, too. But I'm just asking, you think he's better than you?
I played 20 years, watched 20 years before that. I've never seen a guy like him. And he's doing it consistently. And he has championships.
You put him
maybe
over Michael.
No. I'm not putting him anywhere. I'm saying,
okay,
you know, for all the chitter chatter, is it time to just put him in the conversation?
I think he's
I'm asking the fans, is it time to, you know, start putting him in the conversation as
I'm a fan.
Of the best players ever?
All right. Kenny Smith talking all over Shaq there, but Shaq bringing it up of Steph Curry in the top 10, which is probably how I would have framed it. If you put him in the top 10, then you are loosely involved in the greatest player of all time. But if you're putting somebody in, then who are you taking out? And yes, do I think Steph Curry is going to end up as a top 10 player of all time if he's not there already? Yeah, absolutely. But it gets tricky when you're trying to look at generational talent. What Wilt did, we don't give Wilt the credit with what he did against the people he played against, but the Babe Ruth we do. Wilt is more like he's a myth there, whereas with Babe, it's like we celebrate Babe, and he's incredible, and Babe, those stats, and nobody will ever be like Babe, and now, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Babe. Wilt did all of this. You can only play against the guys who are in front of you. It's not like he goes, you know what, you guys, you plumbers and mailmen, you're not very good. I got to wait till we get some more talent in here. You know, he did play against Bill Russell, who was, you know, greatest winner of all time, and Wilt put up unbelievably dominating numbers against Bill. So Oscar, not many people saw him. Most of his career was in Cincinnati. He did win a title with Kareem in Milwaukee, Jerry West. So you have those players. You almost have to start it from, can you do 1980 on? Can you do the TV era, just to be fair? The fact that the NBA Finals 1970 was on tape delay. So it's just different back then. Now it's important. And, you know, you're a celebrity. I mean, Jerry West wasn't a celebrity. He was the logo. Oscar wasn't a celebrity. Wilt was a celebrity. I don't, you know, Bill Russell, I don't think had any interest in doing that. But just, it's different now. So I think in fairness, when you're trying to look at these players and go, like Kobe. I mean, Kobe and Steph Curry, that's a debate. I think it's a that's a legitimate debate. But if you said, okay, it's Mike, LeBron, and Kareem, I'd have no problem with that. But then after that, I got to put Wilt in unless I don't. I keep him and Oscar and Jerry West out. I got to have Bird and Magic. They take up one spot. And they should forever take one spot because they're intertwined in more ways than one. Yes, Mark.
Now with Kobe, now to nitpick, are you going to say he was the second best player on three championship teams because Shaq was at the height of his dominance when they went on that first three-peat run? Does that count for anything, or was it, hey, he was still...
Everybody had somebody that... Bird played with the greatest front line of all time. So he had a Hall of Famer and DJ. Bill Walton was a backup, sixth man, Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame coaches, McHale and Parrish are Hall of Famers. That's a pretty good supporting cast for Larry, but you know nobody brings that up. Magic played with maybe the most talented starting five. Does that hurt him? You know, Mike needed to have other players. He didn't do anything other than lead the league in scoring until he got a Hall of Fame coach and he got some Hall of Fame players to help him. Everybody needs that. You know, Jerry West played with Elgin Baylor, who might have been a more talented player than Jerry and was ahead of his time, had Wilt there. So everybody needs help. Tim Duncan, Hall of Fame coach. David Robinson, you got Ginobili, Hall of Famer. Tony Parker, Hall of Famer. So you have to have a supporting cast. And I think that's, I mean, it's just tricky. It's tricky to be able to differentiate between when you played, what the game was like. But Steph, I mean, I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Steph because we got to know him when he was at Davidson. And we had him on during the tournament run. Felt like, you know, the last 2 years he was there, we would have him on. And then I'm telling the Minnesota Timberwolves GM to draft Steph Curry. And then, you know, he had the ankle injury. They changed coaches. Then all of a sudden, he changed basketball. And to be the greatest, I mean, the number of people on the planet who have picked up a basketball, and that guy, it's like Usain Bolt. The number of people who run or can run, have run, that's the fastest guy in the history of the world right there. You know, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. And what he did, how he did it, you know, how much is that factored in? And we get to see everything as well. Some of these other players, you're like, man, that guy must have been really good because you didn't see them. Now we get to see everything. We got to see all of LeBron, but then you had social media with LeBron. Mike didn't have social media. Bird and Magic going against each other in college, in the pros. Kareem, I think, is the most underrated player in the history of the game. I do, because he was so great in college. He could have won four titles if they allowed freshmen to play. The freshman team beat the team at UCLA that won the title the previous year. That's how good his freshman team was. And then he goes into the NBA. We'd never seen somebody play like that. Unstoppable. Shaq. I think we always look at Shaq and go, man, he should have been even greater. Not fair, but that comes with the territory for big men. But here you have Steph, who at 6'3", is the small guy in all of this. You know, Kobe was 6'6". But, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun debate without it being the tiresome Mike or LeBron. As I said before, if I was an owner of a team and I could have Michael for 13 years and I win six titles, or I could have LeBron still playing at a high level, four titles and everything. So he's giving me, what, seven or eight more years at a high-quality basketball than Mike was. And I think there is a discussion about that. Now, if you said game on the line, who do you want? I'm taking Michael. Absolutely. Yeah, Mark.
And the crazy thing is, there's probably 15 guys that legit can be in the top 10. You forget about maybe Dr. J. You forget about Hakeem Olajuwon, Kevin Durant. Those are probably guys that if you really wanted to make an argument, those guys could probably be in the 10. But it's such a tough thing, and it's so subjective, really.
If I said you could start your franchise out of college with Steph Curry or Shaq. Now, let's say you already know what their careers are. Well, we don't know what Steph is going to be, how many more years. But if I'm talking about in this NBA, you're taking Steph Curry. But coming out of college with Shaq, or you're going to take Steph Curry? Well, you're going to take Shaq out of college because Steph, we weren't sure. You know, people didn't even think he could be a starter. He didn't have a position that he had to. He stayed another year at Davidson so he could learn to be a point guard. He's still not a point guard. He's a points guard. He scores points. But you're probably taking Shaq in that era because it was still about the big man. In today's game, you're taking Steph Curry. Although I'd still love to see Shaq down low in today's NBA. And now I'm watching the Celtics. They took more threes than twos last night. But if Shaq could hit his free throws?
That's 40 a night.
Well, Steph makes his free throws. One of the greatest, you know, free throw shooters of all time. That'd be interesting. He's the greatest shooter of all time, but not a great free throw shooter. He is. Like Luka. Luka needs to improve his free throw shooting. Now, I don't know what his numbers are this year, but you can't linger around, you know, LeBron, you can't linger around 75, 76%. Like, you know, come on, 80. 80, that's not a big deal to ask. By the way, Chris Collinsworth joining us coming up in a little bit. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, and our radio affiliates around the country. 877-3DP-SHOW. Poll question, what are we going to go with an hour or two, Seton?
I think maybe we change it up to what you were just hitting on. If you were going to start your franchise out of college with Shaq or Steph, we could also put up there, where do you put Steph Curry on the list of greatest players of all time?
So if we said top 5, top 10, top 15?
So the way I have it broken down is 1 or 2, 3 through 5, 6 through 10, or 11 plus.
All right, that's fine.
Many, many options.
Yeah. I'd probably, so 1 or 2, what's the next
one? 1 or 2, 3 through 5, 6 through 10.
I'm going to say 11 plus. I'm going to go 6 through 10.
I think 6 through 10 is going to dominate.
By the way, speaking of voting, danpatrick.com. I just talked to Mario. By 11:30 a.m. Eastern on Friday, we will have the most valuable, least valuable, most improved, least improved Danette. And the polls close at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. 11:30 a.m. Eastern, then we will hand out. We're trying to get banners, sort of like the Lakers in-season tournament winners, that most valuable. I just saw Mario in the hallway, and he goes, shocking results so far. I go, shocking? And then I said, really? And he goes, shocking. So, most valuable, 1,000 people voted last hour alone.
Wow.
He goes, you know, as soon as you said it, danpatrick.com, most valuable, least valuable, most improved, least improved, Danette. You can vote on that. All right. A couple of phone calls in here. National Signing Day. Woo! Maybe not. LSU takes out billboards of the guys they're recruiting. They have digital billboards to let everybody know in Baton Rouge. You're driving around, you know, Tommy's driving to work and going, oh, okay, we got that guy. Oh, we got that guy. And then you also have the transfer portal. And Lane Kiffin got a contract extension. Yay.
Well, he earned it.
He did.
He earned it.
In the last 50 years, Ole Miss has won at least 10 games 4 times. Last 50 years. 2 of those seasons have happened in the last 3 years with Lane Kiffin.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day.
Here comes
that what? Stat of the day.
They're not expecting titles there, but if you get 10 wins and you're relevant, that is enough, it feels like, down there. Okay, oh, here's the over-under. Lane Kiffin staying at Ole Miss over under 2.5 seasons. starting next season, 2.5 seasons. Anybody going over? Paulie?
How long has he been there already?
This is year four. God, he's the only thing he was in for 7 years was probably college. Florida Atlantic, he did 3 years. He did 4 years at USC. He did 1.5 minutes at Tennessee. He was there for one season.
He was with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Over, under 2.5 seasons at Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. Anybody going over Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss? Yeah.
And he leaves on his own accord.
His own accord.
Now, okay, I just want to, is he leaving to take another job, or is he being asked to leave?
Wouldn't you love it if a coach actually had a Honda Accord and he left by his own accord? Yes, he did. Okay, so over, under 2.5. Marvin?
I'm going to get wild. I'm going to say over.
Wow. Oh. You are getting crazy today. Paulie?
I'm going over. I think he likes the SEC real estate.
Well, it doesn't mean he can't go to another SEC school.
No, I know, I know.
Yes, Eden?
I think I'm going to say over, too. I'd say, well, what I want to say is he's not going to leave on his own.
Oh.
But he, I think that this is almost a perfect place for him where there are no expectations, but he gets exactly the right amount of attention that he craves.
Okay. Yep.
He can say something and it bubbles up and it makes news or whatever. And then after that, he goes away for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks, wins a couple of games, loses a few games, whatever.
Right. Yes, Paul.
Side topic, but it's SEC related. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt the past week. Arthur Smith is the head coach of Atlanta Falcons, and his owner has not been very committal to him going forward.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of, not reports, but scuttlebutt about Kirby Smart at Georgia kicking the tires on the NFL. Southern teams.
Why would you do that? Why would you ruin? You got it made.
I don't know. I think.
Unless these coaches are getting tired with transfer portals and NIL.
A person I know said that some of these coaches are very sick of the NIL transfer
portal. Well, I get it.
In the NFL, the only thing you have to do is, you coach and you're worried about salary cap. I'm just saying Kirby Smart, if the Atlanta Falcons came open or he opened that job up.
He could have that job if he wanted it.
It's a tenuous job right now with Arthur Smith. And if somehow Kirby Smart's agent reached out, want to keep an eye on.
Do you got sources?
A bit.
You don't want the college football insiders to come after you,
Paulie. No. I would say that don't be surprised if there's a report soon that his agent kicks the tires for a job down there.
Am I going to get blamed for this information where it'll be Dan Patrick show and then the college football insiders go, stay in your lane, talking hairdo.
Places like Tampa or Atlanta or those type of places. Probably not Carolina.
No, I would never leave Georgia. No way. That's a pro job.
But
you get paid. How tough is it? You got Alabama.
But imagine you're this is hypothetical now. If you're Kirby Smart, you've won 2 titles, you've cemented yourself, NIL and all that stuff is driving you crazy. If it is, you can go to the Atlanta Falcons with the talent they have on their roster. It is a nice...
You got control over the players, a lot more in college at least than you do in the pros. Those guys may look at him and go, that college stuff ain't working here.
I'm gonna debate that a little bit. I think 5 years ago, college coaches were in control of college programs. Now I think they are they're like the guys running the carousel with a bunch of kids, and they're just trying to hold on to these kids for a couple more spins.
Yes, Todd.
You go to a division that's up for grabs. You're already kind of proven yourself on the college level. Everyone has in the back of their mind that's only coached in college to prove that they can do it on the pro level. I think there's something to that.
All right, thank you.
Second source.
There's your second source.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, me. It's all you need.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I may retract that.
All right, let me take a break. I got a lot of phone calls to get to. I also got Chris Collinsworth to talk to. He will join us coming up. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Get ready for the first ever streaming exclusive NFL game in history. NFL Holiday Exclusive on Peacock. It'll be the Buffalo Bills. They face the Chargers in Los Angeles. You can stream it live this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern exclusively on Peacock. And part of the broadcast team with Mike Tirico, it'll be Chris Collinsworth, just inducted into the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame, and a man who once raced a horse. Who, by the way, whose idea was it when you were with the Bengals? That, what was that, 1983, that you raced a horse?
I actually did it twice, if you can believe that. So a guy named Andy Furman. Do you remember Andy?
Yeah, radio host.
So I was doing the radio. By the way, you read commercials way better than I ever did. I got so nervous doing that. I hated doing that. It was awful. So Mike Battaglia, who's a great buddy of mine, who sets all the morning odds for the Kentucky Derby, has for 50 years. He's going to do, this will be his 50th year of doing it. They've only had 150, so he's done a third of them out there. But Andy was out there, and he was like the GM of Turfway Park. And Turfway, you know, they had those horses out there and da-da-da. And we were talking about, I don't even know. Like, something, they were giving me heat, and I was going, oh, man, I could outrun these horses. You guys have a Turfway Park out here. You know, one of those kind of conversations that we all have. And Andy went, oh, really? Oh, you think you could outrun one of the horses? And I said, absolutely. So they set up a date with, or I'm racing Mr. Hurry. Mr. Hurry had run 117 times in his career, had one win to show for it in its history, right? So they're trying to give Mr. Hurry his second win. So they come out and I go, well, Andy, you got to set up something. And he goes, you know, So I got to come out of the gates, and the dirt is like, you know, it's like running on the beach. You can't run on that stuff. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll have a, like a wooden track made up. It'll be a fair fight. It'll be, you know, this whole thing. So I come out and I get a tuxedo, the whole with a cane, you know, and I've got like, this is back in my single days. I get two girls dressed up in tuxedo things. They come pulling up out onto the track. I come out like one of those big time wrestlers. You know, I love wrestling when I was a kid. And I'm waving to the crowd, biggest crowd they ever had at Turfway Park. It was just out of control. People are screaming. I come out, I get out of my tuxedo. They throw me in the starting gate. And Andy had laid out a piece of carpet that ran 40 yards of this race. I mean, you talk, it was impossible to run on the sand, but even worse to try to run on the carpet. So I tried to get a little head start. You know how they have the spring-loaded gates that open? That's how you get out of the gate. So I figured if I just held on to that gate, it would just throw my butt out of there. So I hold on to the thing of the gate, and it goes, it throws. So I'm stumbling coming out of the gate. I can barely run on this carpet. By the time I get to the finish line, Mr. Hurry's already around the first turn and heading down the backstretch. It was the worst mess of all time, but I think I got a couple $100, so it was worth it.
But then there was a rematch?
Well, then they had River Downs across the way. They wanted to do one too. And that was more fair because we raced on the turf. And so what they did was they came out, and so I got just the normal start. And that was closer because then the horse had to start from scratch, and it came down to really a photo finish. And I don't know how they do this, but they doctored the photo finish a little bit to make it look like a tie when I really lost by a little bit. I didn't think it was possible for me to lose by a nose, but I lost by a nose. They redrew that line a little bit, so it looked like a tie. It was a better story then.
We were just talking about, you know, could you see a scenario where Kirby Smart would leave Georgia and maybe coach the Atlanta Falcons? And I said, I can't imagine, let's say hypothetical, but given today's climate in college football with NIL and transfer portal and everything, would you rather coach Georgia or would you rather coach the Atlanta Falcons if you're Kirby Smart, if you had the opportunity?
Well, since Georgia is a longtime rival of my University of Florida, I would be just fine with him leaving and going down to the National Football League. He's done an incredible job there. I do think college football, we still don't know what it's going to be, right? I mean, nobody really understands where this is going. Everybody that I've talked to seems to think it's going to end up like the NFL. It's going to be the, you know, AFC and the NFC. We're going to have the Big Ten and the SEC, and pretty soon everybody's going to pile into those two conferences and go get it. But I do think for Kirby, it's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to go back to all the alums at the University of Georgia and go, look, this is going to come down to one thing here in the future. Who has the most money to spend on these players and my coaches? And do you want me here? Because I got used to winning, right? I'm used to winning a lot of football games here at Georgia. So if we can come up with, pick a number, whatever it is these days, $50 million for NIL money, and then I'd much rather stay here. But if we're not, and I'm going to end up getting beat by Vanderbilt because they have more money, I'm just throwing a name out there, then I would rather go to the NFL. So I think it's an opportunity for him to negotiate, which all things are.
It's Chris Collinsworth. It'll be Sunday Night Football on Saturday night with Mike Tirico, the Chargers and Bills, exclusively on Peacock. What would it take for Patrick Mahomes to be labeled the greatest quarterback of all time by you?
Interesting. Well, he's on his way, right? I mean, he definitely has the opportunity because of what he's done so early in his career. Tom Brady is pretty lofty standard to be able to do that. And I think Tom going to Tampa and winning another one set the bar really high. You know, it really did. And I don't know how long Andy Reid's going to coach, but that'll be a factor when he has to switch coaches and go into another system. But I still think he has a chance. I think he is can do some really magical things. It's been kind of interesting watching him the last few weeks, though. You can see the frustration level really beginning to rise, and you can't really blame him. I mean, some of those plays, you know, haven't been quite as good. And really with Travis Kelce, you know, how long can Travis Kelce maintain the level where he's been playing? So there are going to be adjustments. Tyreek Hill was a big loss for that franchise, and he's proving it, you know, in Miami.
But can you say best to ever play the position without factoring in the number of Super Bowls you win?
He'd have to get close. You know, I think he'd have to – he doesn't necessarily have to get 7, 8, whatever the case may be, but he'd have to win at least 5. And, yeah, but I do – he's a fabulous player. I mean, he just is. He just
– But we always hear Aaron Rodgers is the most talented to play the position. Not the best quarterback, but the most talented.
Depends on which day of the week it was. He was the best quarterback sometimes. And you know, you could look at his MVPs and the things that he did. So I think I know where you're going, and I go this way a long ways too as somebody who lost 2 Super Bowls. I don't think it should all be that. Kenny Anderson was unbelievable the Super Bowl we lost. He played a great game. The rest of us stunk it up and made mistakes, and, you know, so should he be punished because he didn't win that Super Bowl when he also won 4 passing titles? You know, so it's not all about Super Bowls, but I do think to some extent he'd have to get close. I would say at least 5.
Micah Parsons has a podcast, and he was critical of the media waiting for the Cowboys to lose, like we took joy in the Cowboys losing. They do get more credit than they deserve. They get more blame than they deserve. But at the end of the day, they're the most popular, the most valuable franchise there. But what do you think we're missing when it comes to this Cowboy team? That their identity is what?
It's sort of like the old fast break Lakers, you know, that they have to play their kind of game. And the Buffalo Bills really got after them running the ball. It was stunning to watch how their inability to just stop the run in that game. The Bills, you know, we've got them this week. They had no intention at all of it just being a purely running game, but they had their starters out of the game, you know, early in the fourth quarter. So if you can't play that kind of football, you know, San Francisco can play a physical brand of football, right? Baltimore can play a physical brand of football. Philadelphia can certainly play that style. I do think the question's going to be, do they have an Achilles heel? Do they have an issue when somebody just lines up and, you know, they lost Zach Martin in the game. They've had some injuries on the defensive line. They drafted in the first round a defensive tackle, which I almost would have never believed the Cowboys would just to stop the run, but that really he hasn't had much impact at all on stopping the run. So when it comes right down to it, is everything going to be a shootout? No. We know come playoff time, there's going to be some ugliness to the whole thing, and the Cowboys have to prove they can win that style.
You got the Chargers and the Bills on Saturday night on Peacock, but I'm looking at the Chargers' job. There's going to be some vacancies. We know that. I don't know how many, but how desirable is that Chargers' job?
I think it's the number one job. I really do. It's a because you have the quarterback. And once you have the quarterback, then you've got a chance because you can build everything else around it. And Justin Herbert is of that quality that he, you know, he can win a Super Bowl. I mean, you know that. So you eliminate the hardest part of taking over a job. And you're living in L.A. A lot of people want to live in L.A. and pay a lot in taxes. I don't know why, but that's good. Good for them. I'm just a joke. Don't. It's just a joke. And my son's out there. I wear them out all the time.
Yeah.
So but I do think, and you're going to get turnover at the receiver position out there. They've got a good player in Slater playing left tackle. You've got good pressure guys on the outside. There's no reason. I can't give you the reason that the Chargers continue to struggle to get into contention and vie for a championship. I honestly cannot do it. So I don't know where they're going.
If I gave you the Niners or the field, who would you take?
You know what makes me hesitate? I think the Niners are a deserving favorite. I really do. But the NFC in general has not been what the AFC has been this year. It just hasn't been at that level. So if you're looking at the AFC, and let's take a team, let's take Baltimore, you know, just slugging their way through that division alone is hard enough. And then you're going to have to slug your way through good teams in the playoffs. I mean, when we're talking about the Buffalo Bills trying to get in as a 7 seed, think about that. I mean, trying to get in as a 9th or whatever right now, it's unbelievable. So when you slug your way through whatever it is in the AFC, and we've seen San Francisco not struggle at all with Dallas or Philadelphia when they played, are they going to be as battle-tested come that last game that you're assuming they're going to get to? So I'm going to say I would take the field as of right now.
What do you do if you're Mike Tomlin with George Pickens, who – decided he didn't want to block on a play near the goal line, and the guy he was supposed to be blocking ended up making the tackle, and he said, you know, I didn't want to get hurt, and I didn't want somebody to roll up on me.
All right, I'm gonna take it from the wide receiver position first, okay? Remember Pete Johnson used to play for us in Cincinnati?
Big man.
I love Pete. Pete's one of my favorite guys. He's a great player. He came in for the Freeze Bowl game, and we were all putting on pantyhose. Nobody had an answer for how to keep warm. It was 59 below zero. Pete comes in and he's parading around in the locker room in his pantyhose, and he said, "How'd I look?" I said, "You look fat, like you always do. What are you talking about?" But anyway, Pete would come and so I'm trying to block for Pete downfield, and Pete never made a cut. You know, he just would run over whatever was in his way, whether it was me or the defensive guy, and he was a great player. But I mean, I got hurt a couple of times trying to block for Pete. So there is some legitimacy to what he said. You know, there is some danger of getting hurt back there. That being said, it doesn't fit the Steelers, no. Right? It doesn't fit Mike Tomlin. They're, and I know all of us receiver types are divas and all that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't, there seems to be something different with that team. And maybe that's a fraction of it. You know, maybe just the fact that everybody is an all in to kill and do anything for the Pittsburgh Steelers on every play. I just can't imagine it sits very well in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. Well, they got rid of their offensive coordinator. That didn't help. Should Mike Tomlin be feeling some heat?
Nope. I mean, it's a remarkable run. I think if you put Mike Tomlin on the open market, there are teams that weren't even considering firing their head coach that would consider firing their head coach to get Mike Tomlin. I think he's a remarkable coach. His record speaks for itself. He's won a Super Bowl. He's never had a losing year. And if I had to bet, even though they've got a tough schedule, I figured some way that he's not going to have a losing year this year. He's probably the brightest of the coaches that we talk to as far as being not just the X's and O's and the individual time that he spends with the individual players, but he's just such a natural motivator of men. You know, he really is. He could be anything. He could be president of the United States. He could be commissioner of the league. His opinions are like so spot on. Whenever there's controversy in the league and you ask him about it, it's just like boom, boom. And it's so logical. He would be, never in my lifetime would I consider firing that guy.
Good to talk to you. Have fun on Saturday night. We appreciate your time as always, Chris.
See you, DP. Good talking to you, buddy.
That's Chris Collinsworth. He'll be there with Mike Tirico. It's Bills Chargers Saturday night exclusively on Peacock. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Couple of phone calls in here. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin, the Steeler head coach, coming up. Luke in Charlotte. Luke, thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. I just wanted to quickly fact check Paulie a bit.
Uh-oh.
Said that the Wyoming Cowboys were not playing in a bowl game. They will be playing in the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl for the second year in a row.
What do you have against Barstool, Paulie?
No, nothing. But like, I had a couple teams that were bowl eligible that didn't get initial bids, and they got the second round of bids. So
okay.
That was
all right. Luke, Paulie saying sorry is bad.
It's going to hurt me on Friday.
Well, you know your Wyoming football. That's what I think was surprising there. Marvin in Hartford. Hey, Marvin.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
510-170. I was just calling in about the greatest basketball players of all time.
Okay.
And I watched about 30 minutes of Wilt Chamberlain highlights and interviews with him and like Ahmad Rashad and Bob Costas. And I just don't think there's any question that Wilt is the greatest player of all time. I mean, he did dominate in size, but he's also led the league in assists a bunch of years, always rebounding. So I just don't see anybody who I would draft first over Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, when he played, and yes, he did lead the league in assist one year. Then he became a defensive-minded player. You know, he'd scored so many points that he became a defensive-minded player. Later in his career, they ended up winning a title with him playing center. But it just feels like he's a myth because people didn't see Wilt playing. And he was just bigger than everybody. Now, he was extremely athletic. Later got into beach volleyball. He was a track and field guy in college. So I trying to quantify how great Wilt was and then say, well, I would take him over anybody. If you had a draft today, you're not taking Wilt. Kareem was better. You know, Bill Russell, you're not drafting. Bill Russell was 6'8", maybe 6'9", at the most. And he wasn't a good, a good offensive player. Unbelievable defensive player. So, you know, it's the generational part of this. And that's where it's not fair. But that's what we go on. We'd be like, oh, what would, Kobe do against these guys in the 50s? Well, you know, he would dominate. I mean, and you're right. Or what would Magic do? Or any of these other guys? Yes, I understand all of that. But they, you can only take them what they did in comparison to who they were competing against. Wilt was so far ahead of everybody. Not even close. And I think you have to factor in the generational aspect. Babe hit more home runs than teams did in some seasons. Yes, Mark.
Did it hurt Wilt Chamberlain that Bill Russell won 11 titles while Wilt Chamberlain was in his prime?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Wilt was not a winner. He was always viewed as a guy who would not, he didn't win. You know, did he take himself out of a NBA championship game? Yeah, probably. So there was always, I don't think Wilt was ever a media favorite, media darling. I mean, people loved Russell from the standpoint of that guy was unselfish, he played hard, and they won. His entire lineup was a Hall of Fame team. His coach was a Hall of Fame coach. His GM was a Hall of Fame coach, or GM. So, you know, once again, Bill Russell, nobody says greatest of all time. But if it comes to winning and being the leader of a team that won, but Bill Russell is not viewed as one of the greatest, you know, or the greatest player of all time. Yeah, Paulie.
It's really, even when you're saying it's hard to compute as a sports fan that this guy's stats are so much drastically better. Like, if you cut his stats in half, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Well, think about it. Okay, let's look at Wilt Chamberlain at 27, right? Not his best year, not his best. He averaged 37 and 25.
Yeah.
If you averaged 27 and 12, you're going to the NBA All-Star game every year this year.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He basically doubled that. I mean, it's kind of confusing for a sports fan who didn't live in that era to understand why he's not considered greater. I know you just explained it, but for us who didn't see it, it's be like Jim Brown was so much bigger, faster, and stronger, we're going to wipe out his records.
And I only saw him at the end of his career when he was a defensive-minded player. And, you know, because you weren't able to watch these guys play all the time. I just remember seeing him in person, and all he wanted to do was rebound and block shots. But they had, you know, good scorers on that team. So trying to figure that out, if you watched Oscar play when he was with the Bucks, you'd go, what's the big deal? But when he was with Cincinnati, you know, he was a guy averaging, you know, 27, 10, and 9 or something like that. But, you know, that's a whole different generation. It's like we hold it against Wilt of when he played. We don't hold it against Babe Ruth when he played, but we hold it against Wilt. Like, yeah, but, I mean, look who he was playing against. Yeah, but he did have to play against Bill Russell. I think he had 55 rebounds one game against Bill Russell. Final hour on the way. More phone calls. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure what Mike Tomlin was talking about, but we'll play that for you coming up. Final hour on this Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.